Hello and welcome to Just a Guy and His Journey Back to God. So today we're going to be going through Romans, an introduction. And before we do that, let's go to God in prayer. Lord, thank you. Thank you for all that you've done, for being who you are, and for talking to us through your word. I'm grateful that we have your word and we can keep going back to it. And every time we go back to it, it seems like we learn more. So Father, I pray for this message to be one that is driven by you, that you guide. I pray, Holy Spirit, for you to be the one who talks to us, that our hearts, our minds, and our spirits would be available and open to you, and that we would hear from you. I pray that we would be able to learn how to love you with our whole being more, and then how to love our neighbors as ourselves. So, Father, as we go through your book of Romans, I just pray for you to guide us, teach us, and help us understand more what it means to be your children. I thank you and I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to go through a couple of outlines, or read some information from some outlines. One is going to be from Tozer. He always has a outline available with just a few thoughts. And then also we're going to read something from the ESV Study Bible. And so let's go ahead and get started right into it. Tozer writes in his section about background, he writes, in the first century, Rome was the Western world's greatest city. When Paul wrote this letter, he had not yet visited the church there. The church at Rome may have been begun by visitors to Jerusalem at Pentecost, converted in response to Peter's speech. From early on, the epistle of the Romans was attributed to Paul. But Paul dictated this epistle to his scribe, Tertius, who wrote his own greeting at the end. The message in Romans is, Romans is Paul's longest epistle, laying out a systematic treatise that theologically explains the gospel message of salvation as a gift of God, provided through Jesus Christ, received by faith alone, writing to a capital city obsessed with power. Paul emphasizes God's power to save. In chapters 1 through 11, Paul lays out the story of humanity, covering the sinfulness of Jews and Gentiles alike, God's righteousness, and God's love and forgiveness. Paul describes the freedom available only in Christ. Paul gives a shortened recounting of the story of Israel, demonstrating God's righteousness and saving power. In chapters 12 through 16, Paul shows how a believer's faith can be applied in the world. Having faith in Christ is more than theological knowledge. It is about living in the fullness of Christ in our everyday lives. Paul wrote the epistle to the Romans in AD 57 while he was on his third missionary journey, more than likely while he was in Corinth. And the basic structure of this is you have eight different sections. One is the introduction. Then there's a topic of covering the need for righteousness. That's chapter 1, 18 through 3:20. Then he talks about the gift of righteousness, defending grace, the Spirit's ministry, God's purpose in Israel's history, and Christian conduct, along with messages and greetings. That will wrap it up. But we can go on here, from here, and find a few other things that I thought were interesting and beneficial for me to understand. So in the ESV Study Bible, I was reading this section where it talks about the global message of Romans for today. They say, the letter to the Romans provides the greatest remedy the world could ever know, Christ, to the greatest problem the world has ever seen, sin. And this remedy is available to the greatest diversity of people the world could ever produce, everyone. Global Christians wrestle today with problems on a variety of fronts, political, social, economic, and more. Accordingly, God calls us to engage our world with faithful presence, representing Christ and the gospel, with faithfulness and fortitude in all these various areas of life. In Romans, we see an example of this in Paul's admonition to the Roman believers to submit to the government that God has placed over them. Yet the message of Romans for the church today does not fundamentally address political or social problems. Rather, it addresses the very human heart that makes such political and social problems arise. Romans tells us and shows us that the human heart is sick. Indeed, the self-salvation attempts, of which all humans are so prone, are both futile and unnecessary. I can't tell you how many times I've tried to fix myself. And even within this journey, I find myself still trying to fix myself rather than submit to what God has for me. I try to do stuff. I'm a process person who wants to go and follow a process and do something, follow steps 1 through 10, and then therefore be a better Christian. They go on to say, Romans tells us and shows us that the human heart is sick. Indeed, the For Romans teaches that while immorality does not earn God's favor, neither does morality. I liked that. That was important. Romans teaches that immorality does not earn God's favor, neither does morality. We can't do it on our own. It can't be because we're good people. Our goodness cannot accomplish the salvation that our badness requires. Works of the law will justify no human being. Instead, God put forward his own Son to be a sacrifice for sin that turns away divine wrath. God the Father solves the human dilemma by sending God the Son and applying the benefits of the Son's achievement by God the Holy Spirit. What can Christians around the globe do in response but gladly surrender our lives as living sacrifices in heartfelt praise to the God of grace? Oh, the depths of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways! For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For him, and through him, and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. It's Romans 11, 33 through 36. So that's the introduction to Romans. I'm excited to read it. I'm excited to see how it applies in my life and where I can go from there, how much closer I can grow to the Lord. So with that, let's go back to God in prayer. Lord, thank you for today and thank you for your word. I'm grateful for your Bible and your message. I'm grateful that every day I can pick it up and I can read and hear your voice, hear instruction, hear love, hear passion for me, hear direction. Lord, I'm grateful for all that you do and all that you are. I just pray as we delve into Romans that you would help us understand more about you. Help us to understand that it's not morality or immorality that saves us, but it's your grace through your Son, and your wisdom is gained through your Holy Spirit. So, Father, I just lift up this time. I pray for you to be the one that we focus on, that we learn from, that we hear from, and that who we emulate. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hey, thanks for joining me at Just a Guy and his journey back to God. I hope you have a great day.